Creek Church, and I'm excited to welcome y'all to week four of Grow Track 2. Right. I'm excited for y'all. I'm excited to see people who are hungry and who are still chasing after God's purpose and wisdom for their lives. Y'all going to learn about how to hear from God today. Learn from Pastor Stephen. I'm going to get to teach a little bit. I'm going to get the privilege of teaching y'all some. Along with Pastor Stephen. He's taught me before. Y'all know him. He's good. He's great. He's been doing this for a long time. Just some announcements real quick. Water baptisms are back. Are coming back on October 11th. Tell people. Yeah. I'm going to get out there. After all this COVID mess, it's good. I'm excited. It's just good to see y'all. Good to be here with y'all. I know you had some homework. Can anybody remember the scripture y'all memorized? Come on.
Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, if because it is the power of God that has brought salvation for the Jew first and also the Gentile.
That's good. That's almost word for word. Come on. Good. Can anybody tell me what they got out of their scripture reading this past week? I believe y'all read what, John 11 through 15?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me how y'all applied soap to this. Anything?
Chapter 14? Yeah, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes, sir.
Go back and get to heaven, step through it.
Come on.
Any other way, you'll speak for a while.
That's good. One of my favorite stories in John is when he washes the disciples' feet.
Yeah.
And he comes in there and Peter says, why are you washing my feet? He says, well, unless I wash you, you have no part of me. He said,
yeah.
Wash my hands and my head too. But he says, you're clean. It's only right I wash your feet. It made me think of as we walk through life, we walk through stuff, we walk situations, we walk through gunk. We get frustrated, we get angry or depressed, and we still have to come to God and ask him to wash us clean. That's what I got out of that. I asked him to do that this morning. And it's just good. It's always good to come to him and ask him, God, I just need you to wash my feet this morning. I picked up some stuff. I need you to wash my feet and get back on track. We're just going to jump right in. Pastor Stephen?
Yes. How's everybody doing?
Yeah!
Appreciate it.
Good job.
Standing at guard.
Guard. Well, basketball, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be a guard. A really short guard, right? little guy. Yeah. Football would be a guard. That's the big guys up front.
Yeah, dope right? Steven.
Come on in, tell their family. And come and support. Yeah. Glad to see you guys. Well, guys, it's good to be with you again tonight. And thank you, Carter, for opening up. And excited to have you share here in just a minute. We're going to tag team. And I know he's going to do an awesome job. He's part of our interns, four awesome guys. Chris Heflin as well over here. He's one of our interns. These guys started on January 1 this year, along with Luke Bishop and Nathan Socha as well. These four guys, they've been awesome. They've been a blessing to our whole staff, to our church. There's a lot of things you don't see that these guys jump in and are a part of and have just been a blessing to the whole team. And love that they're getting these opportunities to host in different parts of our next steps. They're getting to speak in Starting Point and Grow Track and getting to share an encounter. They're just getting to do a lot of stuff. Man, we're putting all kinds of stuff on their plate, all kinds of stuff. And so keeping them real busy, and we are excited to have Carter with us tonight. So let me pray with you guys, and then we'll jump into tonight's teaching. Sound good? Anything specific, just real quick. I want to continue to pray for Dusty. Dusty or Dustin?
Dusty.
Gotcha. And he's in California fighting these fires. Got sent out, and so just want to continue to pray for his safety. I know Lorena Nichols, who is one of our table hosts. Her son was just an injury.
Yeah,
he's okay.
I reread the thing, and it said that on Sunday he just woke up with his neck hurting. And
okay.
The Bible had it looked at, and there is a chip off of one of his vertebrae sitting in there. And she says that he will recover.
Okay.
But he's going to have
which son is it?
Terrence.
Terrence, okay.
Yeah.
Terrence, okay. So for Dusty, for Terrence, anybody else, anything else? Yes.
I have a cousin in Iowa. She's in her 80s, and they just decided that she is COVID positive on a vent, and they've called the family in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so she's...
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's her name?
Shirley.
Shirley. So Dusty, Terrence, Shirley. Yes, ma'am.
One of the volunteers, her name is Kate, and she had fluid on her lungs this weekend, and she's in the hospital.
Okay. What was your name again?
Tay.
Tay? Okay. All right. Well, let me pray for these individuals and just pray for our time tonight. Sound good? God, we love you. We thank you for this time. God, I know it's the middle of the week. It's a Wednesday evening, God. Some of these guys have maybe had in challenging days, a challenging week. Who knows, Lord? But we're here tonight. And God, I know that you want to speak specifically to us. Lord, I pray that all of us, that our hearts and our minds would be open to what you want to say and what you want to do in our lives. God, we invite you into this place. God, we pray that the Holy Spirit would just illuminate our eyes to what we're going to be looking at, Lord God, what we're going to be taught, even looking at the scriptures that we're going to be reading, God, and that it's we can learn more about hearing the voice of God, understanding the voice of God. And so, God, just bless our time tonight, God. We pray for Tay. We pray for Dusty. We pray for Terrence. And we pray for Carrie's grandmother, or Shirley, I believe it was, Lord God. We just pray for all these situations. We pray for Dusty for protection while he's continuing to be in harm's way, Lord God, and fight these fires that he's putting so much on the line to protect so many people. And we thank you for that. We just pray that you would surround him as he continues to do this dangerous job, God. We pray for Terrence and his neck, his vertebrae, God, that you would touch it and heal him, Lord God. We pray for this family member of Carrie, Lord God, that she would be touched and healed, God. We know, we hear the numbers, we hear the statistics of those that are older that have COVID, God, and the news is not good, God, but we serve a miracle-working God, and I pray that you would touch her this evening, God, and that you would be with this family. And God, for this other young lady, Lord God, with the fluid, God, that you would just touch her as well, Lord, and heal her. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you that we can pray for healing, that you hear us, and that your hand still moves in our physical bodies. We just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Awesome, guys. Well, let's jump in. It's week four, and we're getting closer and closer and closer to, what was it, week five, week six of last semester that we got stopped by COVID last semester. So we're getting close, man. And we've got a lot of people that have come back this semester, and some of you guys are new, but it's good stuff. Good to hear this stuff again. So whether you're brand new to it tonight or whether you're hearing it for the second time, let God speak to you tonight. Let it be open to you. We talked week one about the different types of prayer. Week two, we talked about soap, using our soap. And it sounds like you guys are doing that, which is awesome. Continue to use that study method. Last week, we talked about fasting. And tonight, it's how to know and understand the voice of God. And so let's just jump right in, guys. Most of us are familiar with praying. You've talked about that in week one. We've talked about it in other weeks. You've talked about it even in Grow Track 1. We know and we understand the importance of talking to God and spending time with Him. We've talked about it the first few weeks. And having a consistent time of worship, of prayer, of being in God's Word is so vital. We know it's essential to a healthy, growing relationship with Jesus Christ, right? Those are some things that we got to be doing. They're so essential and so important to us growing in that relationship, right? The fact is that when we pray, we're spending time with a real, personal God. Everybody know that, right? He's real. He's personal. He loves us. He's alive, right? You may not be able to touch Him and see Him, but man, He's alive and He's personal, and He wants that personal relationship with all of us, right? He longs to be close to us, okay? The problem is, though, is that is not that we fail to let God know what we need from Him, what we run from. Anybody have a problem with that? I don't think we do, right? We don't have any problem letting Him know what we need and what we want, right? What we want from Him. It's that we fail to remember that prayer is a two-way conversation between us and Jesus. It's a two-way street, guys. And we forget that, right? Just in our crazy, fast-paced world, in the panic of difficult moments in life, we forget that. A conversation is not one person talking while the other sits and listens, yet that's how many of us treat our prayer time. It's that person. How many of you have that person in your office? Or you know that neighbor, or you know that individual that just talks all the time and they don't even allow you the opportunity to talk or to answer. We all have those people that are around us. Eventually, you don't really want to hear much of what they have to say anymore because they just talk all the time, right? And I'm so thankful God doesn't do that to us, because I know we talk a lot and we share a lot of what we need and what we want. But a lot of times we fail to remember it's a two-way conversation. And there's a whole lot that God wants to say. I love that don't know if Pastor Jeremy coined the phrase. I think I've heard him say it. Maybe you guys can correct me, but there's a reason God gave us two ears and one mouth, right? And so it's to hear and listen first and lean in and speak a whole lot less than when we listen, right? And so we sit in our chair, we tell God everything that's going on. We ask him for all that we need, but we fail to practice the other side of prayer. And that's this, that we to listen for and to know the voice of God, right? To actually listen for it, recognize it, and know it when he is speaking the voice of God. So many believers, they know how to pray, but very few, unfortunately, know how to recognize and listen to the voice of God. And in order to have a real conversation and deeper relationship with God, we must give him time to talk. We've got to actually give him the time to actually talk to us, right? We have to slow down in order to hear, right? We've got to slow down and hear and understand him. And that's, unfortunately, difficult for us in our day and time. I feel like that subject just comes up every time I'm in here. We're talking. Our fast-paced life affects prayer. It affects fasting. It affects getting in time with the Word of God, right? And it definitely affects our time of just sitting and honestly shutting up and letting God speak to us to hear his Word, to hear the voice of God, right? To respond to all that he's saying. Asking him to do all the things that we're asking him to do in our hearts and our lives. But for him to share his heart with us. For him to share his desires with us. How often do we stop and allow him to do that? I think about one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, 1 Kings chapter 19, and we find Elijah, right? And it's chapter 19 there. It's the chapter right after the big defeat of the prophets of Baal, if you remember that story. I don't know if you've ever read that before, but God does this crazy, wild, amazing miracle where Elijah's there, and God defeats the prophets of Baal, and you would think that he is just like chest out, puffed up, excited, and just, I can do anything that God sends me to do, and yet in the very next chapter in 19, he runs for his life scared from who? From Jezebel, right? Because she's, after he killed all those prophets, she's ready to come after him, and he's scared, and he takes off, and he runs as far as he can run and hides, and he's depressed, and to the point that he just wants to end his life. Right? And it's there that God meets him and provides for him. What's he provide? Rest and refreshment. He provides this wise counsel. He feeds him physically, mentally, and emotionally. He gives him the rest that he needs. He ends up in this cave, and God speaks to him. And God's not in the earthquake. Can he speak through an earthquake? Yeah, he can. He can speak through the fire. He can speak through the great, powerful winds. But he doesn't do any of that. He speaks to Elijah through a gentle whisper. Right? And I love that. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. How do we understand and know and hear the voice of God? Can God speak loudly? Of course he can. He's God, right? He can speak loudly. But he can also many times speak in a gentle whisper. I love what a guy by the name of Henry Drummond said. He said, when God speaks, he speaks so loudly that all the voices in the world seem dumb. Right? And yet when God speaks, he speaks so softly sometimes as well that no one hears the whisper but myself. Right? I love that. Yeah, he can speak loudly where everything else is drowned out, but he can also speak so softly in whisper that only myself, that only I can hear him. Okay? So how do we listen for the voice of God? How do we know if what or who we hear is truly God and not ourselves or someone else? And so we want to talk through that tonight. Does God really talk to us today? That's an important question. And the answer is
yes,
he does. He does. Let's start right there. He does speak to us today. It's not just something we read in the scriptures that he only spoke to the prophets and the men and women of the Bible of years and years and years ago. He still speaks today very clearly. And I love John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. Who are the sheep? That's us, guys. And he's our great shepherd. The word describes him as many times, right? He's the great shepherd. And the sheep hear his voice. He says, I know them, and they follow me. So that shows me right there. That was not just for then. It's for now, too. God loves us. He wants to have that type of personal relationship with us. He knows the voice of the sheep, and we are to know his voice as well. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me, and I will answer you. Love that. Love that he loves us as his children, and that when we call on him, he will answer us. It goes on to say, and show you great and mighty things, fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, do not distinguish and recognize, have knowledge of and understand. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, and your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. God does speak today. The question is, will we slow down enough and take the time to intimately know him? And take the time and carve out the time every day to spend with them personally so that we can know and recognize his voice. Because he speaks to us in a lot of different ways. And we're going to, Carter and I are going to talk through that tonight. So, why don't more Christians hear from God? Why don't more Christians hear from God? Well, here's three quick things I want to share with you guys before we transition to some group work. Number one, many Christians don't actually talk to God as much as they think they do. You know, you ask people, do you pray? Yeah, I pray, you know, a couple times a week, you know, or whenever it's convenient, you know. I talk to the big man upstairs every once in a while when it's convenient for me. Many Christians don't actually talk to God as much as they think they do. Instead, they're quick to talk to others about him and about their problems. It always amazes me how often we will go to others and other sources before going straight to the source, to the Lord, don't we? I'm just as guilty at times, especially as men, right? We're going to figure it out. We're fixers. We're going to figure this out, you know, when finances are tight or when there's a family issue or there's circumstances or this happens or that happens. We're going to try to think through it ourselves and figure, man, I just got to step up and be the man. I got to figure this out, you know, or we'll go to so many other people, many times the wrong sources for the wrong advice, and we won't go to the Word of God or we won't go to him when God's just like, hey, hello. I'm right here. I'm your heavenly Father, and I love you, and I just want you to come to me and spend that time with me. I'm here to help you. I'm here to walk through that time with you, right? So it's just amazing how he'll be the last individual, the last person that we will go to in times of need and question. Therefore, no message is ever sent to God on their behalf many times, because we don't talk to him quite as much as we sometimes think we do, right? That's number one. Number two, others are great at talking to God about all kinds of things, especially their problems. However, they don't ever stop and listen to what he may have to say in response to their request and their complaints. And that happens a lot, too. I love this quote. I don't know who said it, but years ago I heard it, that prayer in our relationship with God should never be the spare tire. It should be the steering wheel, always, right? Prayer and talking tonight, it should be hearing the voice of God and seeking the voice of God and to listen, right? That should be the steering wheel up front and center. It shouldn't just be the spare tire that we need only when in times of emergency, when things are going bad and we got a flat tire in life, right? And so it should be the steering wheel, not the spare tire. So let me say this too. We're just, again, we're so busy. We don't have any problem talking to God. But we don't ever stop and listen to what he may have to say in response. I keep using this illustration because it's just now, but COVID was, as bad as it was this gift to us too. I think it showed me back in April and March and April and May, I hated not being up here at the office as much. I hated not being up here on Wednesday nights for Grow Track and being with our church family on Sunday mornings. But if it taught me something, it was like, hey, slow down. There's some things that are really important, like my time with you, Stephen, you know, and making it more rich and slowing down a little bit more and really, truly taking more time with him, taking more time with my wife, Ellie, and taking more time with my kids. It was a gift. And if we're not careful, we're right back in the mode of crazy life, and we're already back in that crazy schedule of life. Have we carried that with us, what God taught us, that gift that he gave us back in that quarantine time, right? And so it's so important. And that really applies to tonight. We don't ever stop and listen in what he may have to say in response to our questions, to our concerns, to our prayer requests. God is more willing to talk to you than you are willing to listen. I've learned that. We're just not willing to listen. We don't want to slow down. We don't want to sacrifice time doing what we enjoy and the things that we like. Could even be things that was, good things. But sometimes we need to sacrifice that for the most important things And God is willing to talk, but are we willing to listen? Okay. Some of us have selective hearing. Any wives in the house want to raise your hand that husbands have selective hearing? Right? We as believers have that with God, too. It's funny. One of you confidently raised your hand. The other one was kind of like, way back behind her husband's head. She leaned back. She's like, oh, yeah, I know. That was funny. Yeah, we have selective hearing. We kind of only want to hear what we want to hear. Maybe we're walking through. Maybe God wants us to walk through the circumstances we're walking through right now, because what he's got to teach us, we got to walk through it, right? But if we don't stop to listen to him, we may not hear that. We just want him to fix it. We want him to change it and speed the process up. But God's kind of like, hey, well, hold up. If you'll just listen to me, I may want to use some of these circumstances to do something special in your life. Okay, that's number two. Number three, then there are some who talk to God all the time and even try to listen to his voice. However, they incorrectly interpret what he is saying, which gets them into some potential problems and sticky situations. Who is in your life that you look to for wisdom for when God speaks into your life? God speaks clearly. Sometimes you hear and you feel that God may be speaking something, and don't walk through life alone. Have the right people in your life. Have brothers and sisters and older mentors in your life, men and women that you look up to spiritually, that you can bring these things to make sure that you're interpreting it correctly. No, God didn't say it's okay for you to go cheat on your spouse because he wants you to be happy. No, that's not of God, right? But God just wants me to be happy, and I'm not happy with him or her, and so, but I'm really happy with him. This other one over here, no, that's not God. God's not speaking in that, right? That is not of God. And so, I'm amazed that I've heard that before, you know, and that's not God, right? And so it's very important that we have the right people in our life to kind of bring these things to and sit down and pray with you through these kind of things. When you hear you think it's the voice of God, and you want that confirmed a lot of times, right? Because if we're not careful, we can interpret it the wrong way. And so there is wisdom in a multitude of counsel. I love that, right? The right counsel, but there's wisdom in that. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So those three things are really important. Why don't more Christians hear from God? We just mentioned that, those things there. So how does God speak? Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, Proverbs what?
It was Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. Yeah, How does God speak to us? Well, Joyce Meyer said this: God declares that he speaks. And when he does, he speaks in righteousness. And we can always depend on what he has, what he says to be right. We can count on that, which is great, right? Before we go into the group work, can I just share a couple? I read something this morning. This is not in your notes, but can I just give it to you as an extra? Because I thought it was just really cool. How many of you have read Habakkuk? How often do you read Habakkuk? Can you say it? Right. There's these minor prophets, and we got to preach. So, guys, we got to preach from there every once in a while. So when people get to heaven, if Habakkuk walks up and he's like, hey, what'd you think of my book? You can be like, I didn't know that book, man. You know, that one, right? So it's important that you say that, too. But there's some good stuff there, too, in the late Old Testament in Habakkuk. And I was reading there today, just looking at this idea of hearing the voice of God in prayer. And in chapter 2, in the first couple of verses, he's got these complaints in chapter 1 and 2, and then God answers it, right? And so he's just given kind of a second complaint, and then God speaks to him again. But I love what Habakkuk says. He's talking about this idea, and I feel like he gives these things that I think are super important, guys. If you're going to hear the voice of God, number one, withdraw. Sometimes we just have to withdraw. Withdraw from the busyness. Withdraw from the craziness. Practice some silence and some solitude. That's very difficult for us to do. But sometimes when you're really trying to hear the voice of God, you've just got to pull away from the noise. All right? I think that's very important. And he was doing that. He talks about being in this watchtower. He withdrew, went to this watchtower, Habakkuk did, right? As he was saying to God. And then he waited. That's the second thing. Sometimes we have to withdraw. We just have to wait, okay? We've got to wait on the Lord. very impatient people will begin to wait. Be still and know that I am God, the scriptures tell us, right? Number three, read the word of God. And we're going to talk about that in a minute, but he wants to speak through the word of God. Somebody said this to me years ago. Do I want to hear an audible voice? Absolutely. But sometimes we need to stop waiting for a voice and we just need to start looking at a verse. We just need to hear that God speaks through his word. It's living and it is active, right? Number four is write down the insights that I receive. I would do that, guys. You know, these journals and things that we give you in Grow Track 2. And I know for guys, journaling is probably not something we're used to doing. But write down what God begins to tell you. Write down what you're praying for. And write down what he answers and what he does and what he speaks to you, right? Write down the insights that you get from your time of withdrawing, of waiting, and reading God's word. And then finally, review regularly what God has taught me. Go back to it. Review it, right? God wants to bring that back to you time and time again to show you how faithful he was, to remind you in the next challenge of what he can do, what he did before, and he'll do something even greater the next time that he can be trusted, that he's faithful. Does that make sense to you guys? So those are five things that I love. If you get a chance, read Habakkuk chapter 2. And I feel like that was a good model that he gave us, that he did all those five things that helped set him up to hear the word of God. Make sense? Or the voice of God. Okay, so what we're going to do right now, guys, and I hope I haven't gone too long here, is we're going to have you do some group work at your table. And so turn to that page there. You're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. You're going to read verses 2 through 14, and then we got some questions there just for you guys to discuss and answer at your table. So look those over, and then we'll come back and kind of go through the answers to these questions and look at what you guys read. We'll discuss the time you guys had at the table. So I'm going to kind of walk through these questions you guys read from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 2 through 14. And so this is a great example of hearing the voice of God, right? And so, number one, to whom did God speak in this passage?
Samuel.
To Samuel,
any,
right?
Any you, Samuel, speak to Eli.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I'm glad you caught that too, right? And number two, how did God speak to the individuals?
Verbally,
audibly, right?
And then through someone else.
And then through somebody else, yeah. Yeah, I think it's easy to get caught on just the Samuel, audible voice of God speaking to Samuel, but Eli gets spoken to as well, and the people, right? So good job there. Number three, what was their response to what he said?
I put accepted.
Yeah.
Both accepted what the Lord spoke.
I don't think it's what Eli wanted to hear.
No.
He couldn't argue with it, could he? I mean, he didn't argue with it. He didn't push back.
Which is, to me, it's kind of amazing because nowadays, if someone came to you and said, this is what the Lord said, then you would want to be like quick to defend yourself. But no, he didn't. That's not God. That's
right.
Not God. So it's amazing that Eli wasn't like, no,
yeah.
I don't think it was God speaking to you.
Right. Yeah, he didn't argue with him. And thing is, too, is, you know, Samuel had to be scared. I mean, totally scared.
Oblivious to it first.
Yeah. Yeah, he was oblivious to it. And then once he realized what was going on, I mean, you know, the next morning, Eli kind of threatened him. He threatened him, right? And so he had to be scared, but he was yet still obedient to what the Lord told him. Number four, how does God use that specific method to speak to us today?
I put that he speaks to our hearts, and he still to this day never sugarcoats anything. He didn't sugarcoat that. He won't sugarcoat anything. He means what he says, and he says what he means.
That's good. I like that. That's good. Anybody else?
Through other people and worship.
Yeah. Absolutely. Lots of them. We're going to talk about a lot of different ways that God speaks to us. Number five, what can interfere with our ability to hear God when he uses this method?
Life. Overthinking stuff.
Overthinking it.
Like you said, incorrectly interpreting what he's saying.
Absolutely.
Impatience.
Yeah.
Was that God or did I eat a bad burrito from Del Rio?
What was that? For a lot of us, just stopping and just getting somewhere, like you said, just be quiet and just wait.
Yeah.
Most of us don't like waiting.
Right.
Like,
so
you
got to
be
right now.
Patient enough.
Yeah.
Patient.
I got 5 minutes, or that's
yeah.
2 minutes.
Yeah. Don't work that way.
Just
all.
5 minutes.
Yeah. I put thinking too deeply into God's simplicity.
That's good. Yeah. Absolutely.
Which I guess is kind of like overthinking. I don't know who said that.
Yeah.
said disbelief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, just
absolutely.
Like the Israelites did with Jesus.
Yeah.
They just, he didn't come the way they thought he would, so they just didn't believe it was
You
know,
such
the Old Testament.
Yeah.
For us.
Good job, guys. Awesome. Well, I'm excited. I'm going to hand the mic over to the one and the only Carter. He's ready to go.
No, I'll sit right here. You can see him again. Our first point, we're just going to jump right into it, is our first way of how God speaks to us is through his word, the Bible. This is one of my favorite ways that he speaks to me. I love reading the Bible. It's so full of knowledge and wisdom. He can speak to you through the different stories in the Bible. One of the examples I have is actually Samuel 3. This is right before I started the internship, and I was learning all of this stuff. Pastor Talia just started speaking to us, just started mentoring us, and I didn't know how to even listen for God's voice. Didn't understand it. Had a bad day. I was frustrated. I was trying to figure this out, and I was like, God, I don't even know how to begin to start listening to you. So I turned some worship music on, and I just started to pray, and I started to think about what they had me reading on. It was Samuel 3, and I remember thinking about it and noticing how God called out to Samuel three times. Three times Samuel didn't understand him. Couldn't hear him, but they didn't stop God from calling out to him. And then I realized that even though I can't understand God, he still wants to speak to me. He still wants to call out to me. And the only thing I want us to get from this today is that God wants to speak to us. He wants to speak into our lives. He's our Father. He wants to speak to us. He's our children. He wants to nurture us, encourage us, and teach us. And you can find that in God's Word. In 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, all Scripture is God-breathed and used for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is God-breathed. It means it comes from the Spirit of God. It means it's His Word. He spoke through these people. He spoke through them, and speaks to us today still. No matter the situation, you can apply the principles and the situations to your life. And he's never going to say anything to you. He says it thoroughly equips you. The Word of God thoroughly equips you. He's never going to say something to you that unequips you to do his work in your life, what he wants you to do, what he wants for your life. It's never going to unequip you. Another important thing is when you're reading the Bible, it's always good to know the context of what you're reading. So you may hear something and not understand the context and then apply it wrong. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sounds great. Paul's talking about a being content, though. So if I say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I start a business with no finances or no further knowledge, and the next thing you know, I'm bankrupt on the streets eating stale pizza, I applied it wrong. Wrong context. In 2 Kings 22, King Josiah, the book of the law is found at the temple. After having read it aloud, Josiah calls the people to repentance in alignment with God's word. Once realizing that they were completely void of the voice of God and his word in their lives, they began to be afraid. And the story actually says his doors closed and he wept because he realized that they weren't aligned with God's word and they didn't have his voice in their lives. When God speaks, though, he will never contradict his word, ever. Nothing he says to you is ever going to contradict what he says. His word is the end all be all. He never changes. It never changes. Our second point is knowledge and understanding of his character. This is important. It's important to understand the character of God, who he is, his characteristics, his morals, his being, who he is. Deuteronomy 32 verses 3 through 4 says, "For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe great greatness to our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect. For all of his ways are justice, and God is truth, and without injustice, righteousness, and uprightness." He's a God of justice. And his voice will always be consistent with his character. In Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 through 7, "As the Lord is passing by Moses on the mountains, he proclaims his attributes and his characters and his nature." He speaks by his God of compassion and mercy. And he's slow to anger. He's filled with unfailing love. And he's patient. And he's a God of faithfulness. That's his characteristics. He's always going to speak with his character, in line with his character. He's never going to say, "I'm through with you." He's never going to be unfaithful to you. His word if you maybe you feel like God's or something's telling you, no, I'm not even worth it anymore. Why am I? What would God want to do with me? That's not God speaking to you. That's the enemy speaking to you. He's faithful and just good. He's full of compassion. If something tells you that God is just mad at you, he loves you. He's got compassion and mercy. That's what he wants for you. It's always good to test the test because there's the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5:22 is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Always test what you're hearing along with those fruits. If it's anything else, it's not. God's never going to say, punch Keith in the face. He's never going to say that. He's never going to be like, you know what? Run that person off the road. You know, he's never going to do that. He's always going to be in line with his character. He's always going to be, he's going to tell you to be compassionate and kind. He's never going to tell you, you know what? Cheat on your taxes. It's okay. He's never going to say that. Number three is guidance and counsel from Christian leadership. This is very important. It's always good to come to somebody, like Pastor Stephen said, with the word or with your problems. Who has more, has a better understanding, who's done it for years, of hearing God's voice and knows, who's taken college courses over studying the Bible and how to interpret Scripture, they know well. Pastor Stephen's done this for 20 years. He knows what he's doing. It's good. If you notice, Samuel went to Eli. That was his person. I don't know what's going on. Did you call me? You didn't call me? But Eli was there to tell Samuel that was God speaking to him. We still need that person in our lives to help us out when we don't quite understand. We still need somebody there to give us good counsel.
That's good.
In 1 Kings chapter 12, 6-19, a king Rehoboam, he does it wrong. Okay, he sought advice from friends instead of Solomon's counsels. Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, and he refused to listen to his counselors. Instead, he went to his friends, and they led him astray. They told him to do the wrong thing. He ends up angry with people. He ends up having to flee because of it. Instead of going to people who knew God and knew his father, he went to people who didn't know God and didn't understand him. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, verses 6-8, Saul seeks Samuel's advice. Samuel was just searching for a donkey at the time, but he ends up going to Samuel to figure out where it's at. But Samuel ends up seeing something in him. God spoke to him earlier and told him to anoint him to be the king of Israel. He knew something about Saul that Saul didn't know about himself. It's important. That's why it's important to have Christian counsel. Sometimes they can see something in us we don't see in ourselves. I don't ever be called ministry unless, you know, somebody believed me and said, you know, I see something in you. And that for us was Pastor Talia at Port Mendoza. And we have our staff, wonderful staff, who has always been there for us, always helpful and encouraged us. We're just truly blessed to have, us interns have wonderful counsel here at Timothy Church. Our next point is observing the activity of God. The activity of God is something that God, you see God moving. It's the work going around. It's an external force that's moving. In Acts 13, verses 1-3, the Holy Spirit directed leaders to set Paul and Barnabas apart for the work to which he had called them. Last week you learned about fasting. I think you even learned about this, how fasting brings clarity and understanding. Before he directed the leaders, they were praying and fasting. So through their prayer and fasting, God led them to set apart Paul and Barnabas. He showed them that there was something special that he wanted them to do. When I was coming to church here, and I wanted to do these next steps. I wanted to get into Encounter and Grow Track. But I was working in Houston. I wanted to serve too, but I didn't have time. I didn't have time. I was working in Houston. I drove an hour and a half every day. Worked late sometimes. But I felt God was putting on my heart to come here to chase after him and to serve. And I felt him directing me towards youth, serving youth, and to get to Encounter and to learn and really seek him. Finally, it just after persistent, after months of this and weeks of this, I said, okay, God, if you want me to do this, I would do it. Open up the door. And the very next day, I get a phone call for a job I applied for just a few weeks before. And here I am today. I was able to get into Encounter. That led me to the internship because I think it was serve, which fulfilled me, made me feel like I was doing something for God. And that's here. That's the activity of God in our lives. Paul and his companions traveled to a certain region in Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit kept them from preaching the gospel in that region. We don't know exactly what it was, whether it was just a prompting and determined from the Holy Spirit, whether it was just closed door after closed door after closed door, and they finally just asked God and understood that that was not where they needed to be. When God closes a door, like he closed the door on them, like led them to a different place, it's good not to open that door. If you can't find it in the Word, it doesn't matter with his Word or his character, or if you went to a good Christian counsel and it still isn't right, don't try to force that door open. Leave it shut. God is always thinking for your good, for your betterment, for your purpose that he has for you. Yes. 4-5, feast of the Holy Spirit, that's internal. And this can actually accompany the activity of God. Colossians 3:15, let the peace and soul harmony which comes from Christ rule, act as umpire continually in our hearts, deciding and settling finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ, one body, we're also called to live and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Peace of God is internal work, is what it is. And sometimes it can accompany the activity of God. So you can see a door moving. You're like, God, should I open that door? When I decided to go into the internship, I had just finished college 6 months prior. I had spent 2 years finishing college. I had, and I was going to drop everything. I invested in a shop. I opened up my own machining shop, and it was a big decision, but I had total peace about it. I just knew that this was what God wanted me to do. I knew he wanted me to do. I didn't even worry about it. I didn't worry about dropping everything and just going after him. I just had that peace. I had that peace with me in that. And sometimes that accompanies that. In Acts 15:22, verses 35, the Jerusalem Council's letter to the new believers indicated that their decision was in unity with the Holy Spirit. They made a decision, and everybody could feel the peace of God in it. Sometimes I ask God, don't give me peace if this is not me. But if it is, give me peace. But if it isn't, I don't want it, God. Because I don't want to do anything that isn't in line with what your plan is for my life. And what I've noticed when asking him to confirm things like this, sometimes somebody random will come up to me and say, hey, I feel like God wants me to tell you this. I'm like, that's how I'm feeling. And then sometimes another person will come and say the same thing. I can't tell you how many times that's happened. But he does that. But the Holy Spirit gives us a peace about certain things that God wants to do in our lives, what doors to walk through, opportunities to take, what we should do, what we should do. He gives us a peace. It's always important to know that before we do anything, we need to ask God to give us a peace about this, about what we're doing. I'm going to pass it on to Stephen.
Just continuing on in these notes, these 10 different ways that God speaks to us through, He speaks through us through wisdom as well, number 6. Number 6 is wisdom. God gives us incredible wisdom, right? A great example. Well, let me read this verse before that. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. We simply just need to ask the Lord for wisdom in certain circumstances and situations when we're making decisions. A lot of times we're faced with challenging decisions. They could both be two great options or whatever. We have to make decisions in work, in business, and in our families, right? If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously, it says, to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. That part is so important. We must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Another great example, in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 47, we find Pharaoh and Joseph's plan, right? We know about Joseph sold into slavery by his brothers, right? And he goes through this up and down life, but God continues to give him favor. God continues to put him in this place of prominence, and here he is with Pharaoh, and they have this plan to save grain for 7 years. God gives them wisdom, gives him wisdom as he sought the Lord for wisdom, and for 7 years before the famine came, and he displayed wisdom. So such a great, look into those chapters at the end of Genesis, because it's a great example of asking the Lord and how he speaks to us through wisdom. Just use wisdom. Wisdom also helps us to avoid stupid pain. It really does. That's in the notes, right? We've all done some stupid pain, walked through some decisions. We've done some things, made some choices. But man, when we seek the Lord for wisdom, you know, and when we stop and do it, right? Sometimes we just need to slow down and ask the Lord, is this the wise? That's the best question. There's a book called The Best Question or The Greatest Question Ever. And the book is all about what is the wise thing to do. The whole book's wrapped around that. And that's such a great advice, to seek the Lord for wisdom in any and every situation, right? So he speaks to us through wisdom. Number 7, he speaks to us through supernatural intervention, right? We see that throughout Scripture where he supernaturally intervened on people's behalf, right? And he spoke into those situations. And I love Acts chapter 12. We see where Peter is freed from prison by an angel. It was a supernatural intervention on his behalf, right? I'll never forget, and I may have shared this last time I taught this, so if I did, I apologize, but there's been some moments in life where you're in a moment and you just got to pray for God to show up and do something. I was a missionary for 2 years to France, and I'd only been there a couple months maybe, and a pastor of our church came up to me and said, "Stephen, an exciting opportunity for you." And I'm like, "Okay, cool. Yeah, what do you want me to do?" He's like, "I'm going to fly you from Paris to Madrid, and this other missionary has given us this car. And all you got to do is go to the airport. We're going to get you a taxi. You're going to go to their house. They're going to give you the car. You're going to drive all the way back to Paris, which is about a 12 to 13 hour drive." And I thought, "Okay." And he's like, "You're going to be the name of our church was The Bridge." He was like, "You're going to be the bridge transporter." I'm like, "All right, okay, cool. I got this." And then I started to think about it, and he drops me off the airport really, really, really early in the morning. I'm like, "I don't know French yet. I definitely don't know Spanish, and here I'm going to Spain." And I'm like, start to think about it. I'm like, "How do I get a taxi? How do I get a taxi from the mission? I got the address to the missionary's house, but I'm like, I'm going to have to eat at some point. Like, I don't know Spanish. I don't know French. What am I going to do?" And so I get to the airport. I flag down a taxi, and I just hand him a piece of paper and just pray that this guy gets me to where I'm supposed to go and it doesn't drive me off somewhere and murder me. And so it's in Spanish, basically saying, "Please take me to this address." And, you know, and I say, "S'il vous plaît, please." That's French for please. And so I give it, which is not Spanish. And he takes me to this house, and it's this great couple that are from America. And she's just like, "Yeah, here you go. Here's the keys." And shows me the car and pats me on the back, says, "Good luck." And so I get in the car, and I've got a GPS, and I drive. And it's this beautiful drive. I did stop at McDonald's in Spain. I can tell you, it doesn't matter what country you're in. You can order McDonald's. It works out great. And so, but I was able to get the right order and get my food. And then I get back on the road, and I get to the border of Spain and France. And they're literally stopping every car. It's the Spanish military. And there's one soldier on this side, one on the other. And they're stopping every car, looking around in the car. And I thought, I'm an American. I don't know French. I don't know Spanish. And somebody gave me a car. Like, this is not good. I have stolen a car, and I'm trying to get over the border to another country. This is not good. And I just start sweating. I start getting really nervous. I honestly started praying in the spirit. I'm like, "God, you're going to have to take care of this situation, because these guys are going to haul me off to some jail, and my wife's never going to see me again." And I get up there, and they stop the car in front of me. They check it out. And then the car begins to move, and my heart is beating out of my chest. And I see the one soldier look at the other soldier. He just kind of, like, I'm coming this way, and he looks at the soldier, and he looks at me, and he goes, and he lets me go, and then he stops the very next car behind me. And so I was like, "Whoo, thank you, Jesus." And I went on and drove the rest of the way to Paris, you know. And so that's a funny story, but God shows up supernaturally and intervenes on our behalf and speaks to us through that way, right? So many great examples of that, and he still does that today. Number 8, he also speaks to us through dreams, right? Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. He still speaks through dreams.
Yeah.
He really does. And it's just an amazing thing. And we read in Genesis chapter 37 about Joseph's dream. Genesis 28 about Jacob's ladder, right? Here's the litmus test, though. It says this in your note. Litmus test for knowing if a dream might be from God. Test the fruit. Test the fruit of where it's coming from. Test the fruit. Again, we've said it a couple times tonight, both Carter and I. Have the right people in your life that you can test that dream with, right? The mentors in your life, the spiritual men and women in your life that you trust, that are godly men and women that you can bring this to, and you can smell the fruit and make sure that fruit is good, right? Number nine, he speaks to us through visions. Again, we just read that verse from Joel chapter 2. And so many incredible examples of that in scriptures. Sometimes when God speaks to us through a vision that he gives you, he may bring it to better understanding and completion years later. I just want to mention that. Sometimes he'll speak to you because he does that, right? Through a vision. But you may not understand it till years later. And I know that's kind of a hard concept. That happened to me when I was 17. I got called to ministry when I was 13. And my mom and I went to, my mom was walking through a difficult time, and she went to a pastor in town. And that pastor, kind of for counseling, I went with her. I joined her in that session, and he prayed over my mom. And he ended up coming over to me, and he prayed over me. And I feel like God gave me this vision of a stage out kind of in a big field, right? And there was like a sea of people. But I was standing on the back of the stage, and I knew I was called to youth ministry, right, when I was a teenager. And I thought, well, does that mean I'm supposed to be like a youth evangelist one day and speak to lots of kids and teenagers? I don't know. And that was when I was 17. God didn't really reveal what that vision was until about 3-4 years ago.
Wow.
And it actually ties in with Pastor Jeremy, which is really cool. Yeah. Pastor Jeremy came back from Africa. He had gone on a trip with a bunch of pastors. He begins to tell us a story in staff meeting about a vision God gave him when he was a teenager, about how he would stand on a stage, an outside stage, in front of a sea of people.
Mm-hmm.
But for him, it was a little more specific. It was dark faces, right? He was in Africa. And he stood on a stage on that trip, and he was speaking to a large crowd of dark faces. So it was cool. He was crying, and the Lord told me, as Pastor Jeremy, I started to well up and just get really emotional because the story he was saying was so similar to mine. And I have a huge heart for people in ministry. Like, I'm a minister myself, but I have a huge heart for people that are pastors and missionaries. And as he's telling this story, I realized, I've always wondered, why was I standing on the back of the stage? And the reason is because God's called me to lift up the arms of the guy talking to the people in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my heart. And so I began to really realize, God gave me a vision when I was 17, and I was about 38, 39 before I really, truly understood what that vision was all about. Make sense to you guys? And so I share that with you just to know that maybe God's giving you a vision, or he's going to give you a vision as you seek his face. And just know, you may not know exactly right away or understand completely what he's showing you. He may be showing you bits and pieces, but he's faithful. He's going to show you. Keep seeking him, and he's going to show you.
Can I share something?
Yeah.
Just last week, I didn't really ever experience visions or anything like that until last week. And I had like a vision, like I was just doing dishes, and I had a vision of being in not me in the hospital, but like in the lobby of a hospital, and I could like smell the smell and everything, and it was like a familiar environment of a hospital. And I was like, I instantly thought of my dad, because my dad, he's been having like lung problems and stuff. So I just started kind of freaking out a little bit, and then I started praying about it, and God spoke to me and said, no, just pray about that. And so I started praying about whoever would be in the hospital, and then I had it again 2 days later, and so it was twice in 1 week. Well, by that end of the week, I had my best friend call me, and she's like, my grandma is in the hospital, she was unconscious yesterday, and then my dad's now in the hospital all in one day.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's what I had to pray about.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then they both were released the next day.
That's awesome. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's like that. He's just calling you to pray specifically. He's giving you a picture of something like that that you're going to continue to pray for. So be encouraged by that. God still speaks to us through visions. Number 10, he speaks in an audible voice. We read that, obviously, in our the group work that we did with Samuel, God speaking to young Samuel. We see in Acts chapter 9 where Paul, that Damascus Road experience, where he hears an audible voice and he's blinded, God changes his life forever, right? there's that audible voice. And so God still, have I experienced that? I haven't. But God can. God's amazing. I mean, God can do anything that he wants, and he can speak in all of these different ways. But just know, guys, that the biggest thing tonight, that God does speak to us. He wants us to hear and understand his voice, and he speaks in all these different ways. He wants to speak to you. We've got to slow down. We've got to listen. We've got to recognize. If you don't take the time to spend time with him and hear his voice and have those people in your life that verify and pray with you about those things God's showing you, you're not going to recognize his voice unless you take the time to listen, right? But once you hear it, you begin to hear it again and again, you begin to recognize it. And man, you know, the more you grow in your relationship with the Lord and your walk with the Lord, you know what is God and what isn't, right? As he begins to speak to us and we hear his word. So when God speaks, this is in your notes, when God speaks, what he says will never, Carter said this a while ago, he will never contradict or disagree with his written word. You can take that to the bank, okay? He is never going to do that. When he speaks, he's never going to contradict or disagree with his written word.
Yeah.
So Carter, why don't you come on up and finish it up for us?
All right. What do you do after you hear from God? My first point is make sure you understand what he's saying. Test it. It's okay to ask God. God, I need you to confirm this for me. Gideon asked for a sign from God in Judges 6. David consults the Lord before going to battle in 2 Samuel 5. This is what he had asked him to say. God, confirm it in your word. Confirm it through somebody else, God. Confirm it in reading. I need you to help me understand what you're saying. You can pray and fast forward. He can give you answers. But just ask God to confirm it. Number two, get biblical confirmation. Make sure it lines up with the word of God. Make sure it's true, it's right. Make sure you understood the context. Make you understood what it said. Make sure that can actually apply to your life. Just whether you have to get Christian counsel, whatever you have to do, just make sure that it is confirmed biblically. Third point, apply God's counsel. God's counsel, wisdom, and instruction to your life. If you don't apply it, it has no power. It loses all power. It can inspire you, whatever God said, but you know, it won't have any power. It won't affect your life if you don't apply it.
Yeah.
But it's important to apply wisdom with that. To apply wisdom and instruction with that. To make sure you're doing it right. Number four, obey what the Lord says to do to you. Obey it completely. This is what I've learned. Obey it. Partial obedience is disobedience. If you don't do it all the way, you might as well not be doing it at all. You can obey what God said. Say, told me to say this to this person. Yeah, but he didn't say it like that. He told you, yeah, move over here. He didn't say move right now. He said, yeah, open that business. He says, but if you don't treat your workers well, or your finances well, or steward well what God has given you, then you're not obeying him fully. It's important to apply his wisdom and counsel of others to your life, to obey it, to obey what God says, and obey it to the fullest.
Mm-hmm.
And what he says is do it as quickly as possible. Point number five, write down what God says, what happened when you obeyed, and put a date next to it. This is important because it's going to get hard sometimes to see where God's at. You're not going to see his hand moving. You're not going to hear his voice as clearly. And you're going to need to remember how God moved before. How did he move in my life before? What did you do here? You can look back. I write my journal. I've looked back through this year at all things God has done and what he said to me. Because what's going to happen is the fog's going to roll in and you're not going to be able to see God. It's going to be hard. And you're going to need to look back and see what God did before.
Yeah.
I remember when he spoke to me. He's going to do this. Just put it down and let it remind you of who God is and what he's done in your life. We'll go ahead and give yourselves homework this evening.
Homework?
Okay. Memorize the week's scripture memory verse. You write it down on an index card. Read it. Put it on the Bible app. Highlight it. That's what I do. I got to memorize scriptures every week for the internship. It's Romans 3:20. This is actually one of my favorite verses. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's a good verse. This is important. Read that. Get it in your heart. Apply. soap to it. And I'll hear more of y'all spit it out next time. This one's short. Using your journey, or the hearing from God exercise in the New Sources 16, divide up a sheet of paper. There should be a sheet of paper with columns, and it should say, then on the designated column, write down your top three prayer requests or questions from God. Put the date up on C, Appendix C. Sorry, y'all, for this exercise. Then in the designated column, write down your top three prayer requests or questions from God. Put the date of the day and write each down. Then when God speaks to you, answers your request or questions, write these answers down in the second column. Put the date next to these as well. Be sure to share what God does in your life as a result of asking and talking to God and listening to his voice. As you go through this whole class, keep doing this. I suggest get a journal and keep writing down your prayers and what God says. You'll see that he's answering some. You see what he's decided to do differently from what you asked. He may not do what you want, but he's going to do what you need. It just applies up to your next, this week's, week four of your reading plan. And, y'all have a great day. Am I dismissing?
Let's give Carter and Pastor Stephen a hand. An honor and privilege to have you both in here. Thank you, Carter. You did an amazing job.
Thank you for listening to me.
We're calling you for
Yeah, we'll pray for you guys, and then we'll be done for tonight. Sound good?
Sounds good.
God, we love you. Thank you so much for tonight, God. Thank you for the chance to stop for a moment and just remember how important it is to hear the word, hear your word, God, to hear your voice. And God, that you desire that, Lord. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. It's just that sometimes we're so busy, God. We're so distracted by so many things. And sometimes you, as I said earlier, we treat you like the spare tire in the back, God, instead of treating you like the steering wheel, God, when it comes to prayer and when it comes to hearing the voice of God. God, you desire to have that type of relationship with us. You desire to speak to us directly. And I pray, God, that every person in this class this week would have some moments with you. God, that you would speak to us through 10 of the different ways that we discussed tonight. God, all the different ways that you speak to us, that you would begin to speak to us, that we would hear you clearly. And God, just surround us with the right people, God, that when we need to, we can bring those things to have people pray with us and to test that fruit, and to test those things, God. God, that you would just speak into all of our lives about how you want us to be all that you designed us to be. God, that we might reach our God-given potential and everything that you have for us. God, we love you, and we thank you. Go with these guys. Go with every need that they have. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Love you guys. Y'all have a great week.